WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is a Maryland Crab Cake Tour week. It's my birthday week. My birthday is on Friday. I celebrate 54. I'm not going to have 54 crab cakes on Friday. I'm going to have one crab cake. It's going to be at Fadley's. We're going to be down at Lexington Market on Friday morning celebrating my birthday and the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll have these Ravens tickets to give away. I've had a couple of lucky ones so far. I had a $20 winner a couple weeks ago up at Cooper's North, so come on out. Our friends at Goodwill will also be with us, and of course, it's Halloween season. Lisa Rusiniak, our friend, reminding everybody to get your Halloween shopping done. Make sure you're thinking about Goodwill as you're having a little fun for a very scary holiday, as well as our friends at Window Nation. 866-90-NATION. I love my windows. The squirrels love the screens right now. We're working on that, but we'll get through that. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Tell them I sent you. Tell them you want that two by two. You get two free. That's a good deal. It's kind of like Ravens times two. Luke is here. Luke, I just want to say this. It was a big surprise for your mother that you showed up on the national TV thing. I was not surprised by it. I received a call on Thursday from the NBC crew. And they're like, hey, do you have any outrage phone calls from Monday? I'm like, I stopped doing that ish long time ago around here. You know, the fire the coach thing and all that. I said, I have some intelligent conversation with some insiders and experts that checks the election allows to go out and ask questions. Maybe you might want to have us on. So I didn't know what they had cut up. All I know is that it was about Harbaugh and 3 points. And when the fourth quarter happened and I knew that we were getting into that, are we going to kick field goals or are we not? I literally got a text from the producer at NBC. He's like, you guys are up next. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell Luke he's busy. He's in the press box. So I'll just record it for his mother. So there you go. You got your voice all over NBC for millions of people out there on Sunday night. So have at it.
Yeah, and everyone hears me being a hater in the wake of the Ravens coming up with the win. Yeah, even though anything I said after the loss to Buffalo, most fans were sharing a sentiment. It's why I said, this was a good exhale victory after a hyperventilating kind of loss. The last two losses at home for the Ravens. But yeah, it was funny. I saw some Twitter mentions of that and a couple texts, and clearly I'm in the press box and not hearing the TV sound. I'm seeing.
I was going to send you the video, but I thought I'm just going to tag him on Facebook, tag him on Twitter. He's busy watching the game. He's not going to be in there, but you probably were wondering why, like when you saw it, you're a little like, what the hell just happened? I don't understand this.
I was just thinking, I'm like, I hope I didn't say anything dumb. We all say dumb things sometimes, but again, that's why this was such a good win for the Ravens. Slows down the heartbeat. Exhale. You're fine. You're 3-2. And oh yeah. And we've mentioned this, but I think we need to give this its just due after talking about this for the better part of 2 years. They saw Ronnie Stanley back on the field, and you know, not all the way back just yet, was rotating with Patrick McCary, played a total of 22 snaps, didn't play a whole lot in the second half, and that was by design, and Stanley talked about it after the game, and his quote was, you know, he's feeling good, you know, a little bit of general soreness, but nothing major, and I think he was just referring to the fact that he was playing his first football game in 13 months, but his quote, I think that Ravens fans will keep their fingers crossed and be optimistic about, is he says, I think it's only going to get better from here. And, you know, without having a chance to go back and diving into the tape, I think he held up pretty well, all things considered, considering that's not the easiest matchup going up against Trey Hendrickson in your first real action in 13 months and only your second game in the last 23 months. So big to get him back. Big to see J.K. Dobbins continuing to look better and better. I mean, Dobbins averaged, 5.5 yards per carry. So that was really encouraging to see. And I think for this team, as much as we've talked about some of the injuries, and you know, Marcus Williams is a big loss, you know, whether they get him back later this season or not, that's tough. I mean, you didn't invest a $70 million contract in him to just shrug your shoulders when he gets hurt. You know, that's not what you have in mind. But as Calais Campbell pointed out, and I do agree with him, if there's a position where they're going to sustain an injury, safety would be one of the better ones for that to happen, considering they do have some depth there. And a first round pick who you're hoping will become more of a factor as the year goes on. But you know, getting these guys back, and Marcus Peters, you know, how about the performance he put in? And you know, he's the one who blows up the Philly special play at the goal line for Cincinnati on the drive where they get stuffed. But you know, it feels, even though this team's dealt with some injuries and still have some health question marks. Unlike last year at this time, where they were already very much in a survival kind of mode, where you're just, you know, they were holding on, right? I mean, they had already lost so many guys, and you're just thinking, this isn't going to get any better. I mean, these guys are lost for the year already. This does have a year, you know, this does have a feel that it's trending upward. It feels like it could be better as the year goes on. And that's not to say they won't lose some more guys along the way. And you're always holding your, you know, you're always crossing your fingers that, you know, your quarterback stays upright and your, you know, your wide receiver stays on the field, which obviously Rashad Bateman didn't play on Sunday, and we'll monitor his foot over the next couple of weeks. But I think, you know, you look at this team, there very much is a potential for it to get better and to get healthier with some of these guys coming back and getting further removed from where they were injury wise. And that's where you look at this team and you say, you know, unlike last year where it didn't feel like there was any way, you would say this about that team just because of how many season ending injuries they had to so many key players. This does feel like a team that could be better come November and December than it is right now. And right now they're still in first place and they're 3-2 and they're leading the division. So that's an exciting thing. But again, Ronnie Stanley being back, knowing what kind of source of frustration that has been for him, for the Ravens, for this fan base, for the front office, when he gets hurt 2 days after you invest a near $100 million contract in your all-pro left tackle. Great to see him back on the field. Feel good for him. And certainly that's a positive development for the Baltimore Ravens as it pertains to their Super Bowl aspirations in 2022 and beyond.
Luke Jones joins us here. You can find him at Baltimore Luke. He'll be in Owings Mills all week, probably up late, bleary-eyed from watching baseball all week. Now I know what Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday night football look like this week. They look like baseball games for me, at least in the meantime. And even as we were chatting, my postseason picture from game one of the ALCS popped up on my timeline and my great seats with my kid and all that. So we had a little baseball on the brain, but it's amazing, dude. The Ronnie Stanley thing, you mentioned Super Bowl aspirations, and I've famously said this. I was living downtown 2 years ago. We're in the middle of the plague. Stanley gets hurt. He carts off. And I turn to my wife and I'm like, they can't win a Super Bowl without him. 31 out of 32 games that he doesn't play later, two full seasons later, as we get into this, you start to wonder, like, you know, the Buffalo Kansas City thing sitting out there, they're probably better teams than the Ravens right now. But who knows if Mahomes is there? Who knows what Josh Allen? Who knows if Stephon Diggs is playing? I don't want to put all that out into January. It's 3 months away. But putting all that out in January right now, you look at it and say, what if they play a whole season with JPP playing 22, 25, 30 snaps off the edge? What if Ronnie Stanley comes back and can give them 40 snaps a game until December and then maybe play full time? What if Ajabo comes back? What if they pick somebody else up? I mean, you start to think about possibilities to say, all right, they've had a lot of bad luck with injuries. They've had a lot of things go wrong. They sort of escaped a little something with Peters with this week and he got on the field. The Marcus Williams thing, not good, but by and large, there has to be some level of optimism that at least for one night, for 1 week, it feels like they're heading toward healthier than headed toward infirmary. And I don't, no disrespect to Marcus Williams, it's a huge loss, but it doesn't feel as dire as it did. And maybe it's the 3-2 record, but it does feel like they're getting healthier as opposed to this time last year when it really felt like it was falling apart, to your point.
Well, I mean, it already had before the season started, really. When you consider, I mean, my goodness, they lost J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and Marcus Peters in that, 13 days before the season started, 14 days, whatever it was, you feel cursed at that point, right? It's really tough not to just feel woe is me at that point, considering how key each of those individuals was. And you didn't even mention Gus Edwards started practicing this week, you know, so it looks like his return probably going to be another week or two, I would think, based on how they've handled these rehabbing guys coming back from the major injuries from last year. Tyus Bowser is going to be back at some point. And recently talked to someone in the organization that he's looking good. And they don't, you know, once he starts practicing, whether it's this week, next week, the week after, they don't think it's going to be a terribly long time until he's ready to go. And they're pretty confident that he's going to look close to being himself, you know, so with the coming back from the Achilles. So, you know, you mentioned Ajabo. Anything you get from him to me is gravy, but I've heard some good things about him, some optimism about him behind the scenes as far as how he's looking. And keep in mind, they have the player tracking vest that they use to track movement. They can tell you how fast these guys are moving, you know, all those different things. That's where these rehab periods are a little more scientific, a little more mathematical now compared to even 10 years ago where you just say, oh yeah, he looks pretty good. Well, now they have data to confirm that, hey, he's running at a level that's very close to what he was before the injury. So, but you're right. And I think not to diminish or downplay or undersell losing Marcus Williams or Michael Pierce. You know, they've lost some guys, you know, they've lost some depth at outside linebacker, and we've seen what they've had to do on that front with bringing in Pierre Paul and leaning on guys like Brandon Copeland, who, you know, a guy that you and I both like, but you know, journeyman, you know, let's call him what he is. You know, he's been around the league and, you know, hasn't been overly distinguished, but they've had to lean on some players like that. But there is very much a sense, and look, it can change quickly. And I think the Ravens would be the first team to tell you that. With some of the injuries they've dealt with over the last 2 years, but there is a sense of being able to get better as the year goes on and knowing you're going to get some of these guys back. And, you know, J.K. Dobbins is a great example of this. You know, he's looking better every week. Is he all the way back yet? No, but he did some good, really nice things for them on Sunday night, some tough runs, you know, a couple times it looked like he was going to be completely stuffed. And before you know it, he's getting a first down or he's running for 8-9 yards. So that was good to see, you know, so if you can continue to see that, and then you get Gus Edwards back in the mix, knowing what kind of issues the Ravens have had with some of these short yardage situations, boy, that'd be huge. I mean, we know Edwards had been, you know, by all accounts, one of the very best short yardage backs in the NFL from 2018 through 2020. So they've missed him. You know, he's kind of the forgotten guy a little bit because Dobbins has a little more upside, a little more, you know, home run hitter ability. But if they can get him back, it really makes this running game that seems to be getting, you know, finding its legs a little bit, finding its sea legs, seems to be getting untracked a little bit. It just makes it that much better and puts you in a position then where you're not having to lean on Lamar Jackson quite as much in that regard. I mean, Lamar's their best runner, right? I mean, you're never going to shy away from that entirely, nor should you, but you certainly don't want to be in a position where you're needing to lean so heavily on him as we saw last year so much, before the injury in Cleveland. So, you know, there's a lot to like about this football team right now. There's a lot that still needs to get better. Let's be clear about that. I don't think it's a finished product by any means. And, you know, this is where I mentioned Rashad Bateman, you know, passing game beyond Mark Andrews, and, you know, give Devin Duvernay his props, you know, a busy workload for him, but otherwise not a whole lot from the wide receivers on Sunday night. And, you know, it speaks to something we debated following the Hollywood Brown trade, as far as do the Ravens need to go and find another impact wide receiver? Is that something that Eric DaCosta will explore doing between now and the trade deadline? We'll see. We know the Ravens have been active in recent years at the trade deadline, but there's a lot that's trending upward rather than downward for this football team, like it was last year, where just felt like they were holding on for dear life with their health situation. And this year, you know, hasn't been perfect. They've lost some guys, but getting some of these very key players back into the picture, back into the conversation. How can you not be optimistic about that as we get deeper into October, November, and December?
They still give Luke Jones free tickets to the game, let him sit in the press box, and Ray Lewis comes out and does his thing, and a little Nelly going on. You know, they've turned the Sunday night experience and the lights and the stadium. We always hear the best presentation in the league and all of that. It's a hockey game. I mean, if you've been to hockey games, you know what they do when they turn the lights out and turn the ice on and do all of that. Certainly an intimidating environment, I think, for the Bengals to come in. And we're used to Ray Lewis dancing. A lot of guys on that Bengals sideline had never seen anything like that. Certainly for the league and for what Cincinnati represents, talking to them all last week with their white uniforms and all that. really demoralizing for them. And I, you know, I'm writing my column, this piece. You can read Luke's work and follow him out at Owings Mills all week. My column, this piece, up at WNST and at BaltimorePositive.com right now. I'm sharing it out on social media. Going back to this Steelers-Ravens heavyweight fight, certainly felt like a heavyweight fight. It felt like a really big game. And I don't know that these 1 o'clock games against the Carolina Panthers from the fan base standpoint are going to feel that way. On the back end of the Buffalo loss and a 1 o'clock game that probably could have easily been a featured kind of game, to have a bright lights game with a happy ending where everybody sits in traffic all night on a Sunday night after watching football all day. A lot of happy faces on the timeline. Look, man, I've got my issues with the Ravens and Bishotti and Chad Steele and been thrown out of the stadium and I'm not there and any of that. But for the people that go the last couple of weeks, to have them blow it and blow it again, and the notion that if Tucker misses that kick, if somehow Burrow gets in and the Philly special and the Ravens, I mean, it would be a very, very dark cloud having lost this game. And I want to be clear about that because people were hitting me all last week. What's going on in Baltimore? 2-2, Bengals coming in, defending champions. Man, there was some bad juju going on before this happened. And certainly until the kick was made, it would be a widely different feeling around here if 70,000 people left that stadium. By and large, a lot of Ravens fans this time. The Bengals fans don't travel the way the Bills fans do. But sitting in traffic, 2 a.m, getting home after losing again. My wife fell asleep on the game, and literally 6 o'clock on Monday morning, she's like, did they win or did they lose? I don't know. But when you go down there and you invest your time, your money, all of that, the experience of Ray Lewis dancing and Nelly and all, and bright lights and the blackout that didn't seem like the memo got out. I mean, I didn't realize it was truly that if I went, I was supposed to wear black. I think a lot of people didn't figure that out either. They got the white memo in Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago. But from an experiential standpoint, from where they are with the season, with fans coming down, with disappointment, with all the buzz last week, this is very helpful to John Harbaugh. Very, very helpful to the building this week that they made this thing happen on Sunday night. Because it could be really bad being 0-3 at home right now and being 2-3 and having lost a division game. And they razor thin the difference between feeling really good this week and being like, oh my God, they're 2-3. And in Cincinnati, it's, oh my God, they're 2-3, but they're used to that. They're Cincinnati.
Yeah. And I think it's a good reminder of this is generally how the NFL works. I think because of the success they had in 2019, 14-2, they had the long winning streak going into the Tennessee playoff game, and we know what happened there. But, you know, the point differential, I mean, this team didn't just beat teams, they annihilated teams. And they had some of that in 2020. You know, they had some stretches where that happened in 2020.
Well, they'll beat a bad team like that. If you can't defense Lamar, they're going to get your ass kicked. I mean, literally.
But the point is, the NFL is all about these games, right? I mean, most teams are playing really close games. Okay, maybe Buffalo's that juggernaut this year. And hey, the Ravens took them, you know, down to the wires, 23-20. We saw what they did against Pittsburgh on Sunday. But it's a reminder of how close these games are. As you said, the razor-thin margin for error, the difference between good teams and bad teams in the NFL from a perception standpoint is not much. You just mentioned they could be 2-3. Nestor, they could be 5-0 right now. You know, you change a couple plays, and I'm not saying that to be wishy-washy. This team has issues that it needs to address and continue to get better with, just like it has things that you really like about it.
Well, they had to really screw up to not be 5-0, sort of biblically the last couple of weeks.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So, but it just speaks to how challenging it is, and you know, the other team tries too. And I mean, the one thing that you can say, and maybe it wasn't apparent on Sunday when they're down to their third-string quarterback, but you know, Miami's looked pretty good this year, you know, and what happens with their quarterback situation and Tua and all that now with down to their third string against the Jets on Sunday, who knows, but we saw what they're capable of. And, you know, they had played well against Buffalo. We know what the Bills are capable of. And so, you know, you're disappointed with those games and the outcomes are concerning. And, you know, I think it was just the way that it happened. If someone had told you the Ravens would lose those two games at the beginning of the season, but didn't tell you how it happened, and they'd say it was a one score loss, you probably wouldn't have been quite, you wouldn't have liked it, but you wouldn't have been as alarm, you know, it wouldn't have been as alarming until you hear, oh yeah, they blow a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter to the Dolphins, and they blow a 17-point lead to Buffalo. You know, the way in which it happened is what was concerning. But again, the point is the margin for error is so small in this league that, and you know, it, sometimes it does come down to play here, a play there, a call here, a call there, you know, a penalty or a non-penalty call, you know, as the Terps found out on Sunday with an offside on an extra point that wasn't, you know, called and was mystifying. So, you know, those things are going to happen over the course of a season. I think the key, and this is where it comes back to your point, as far as what it means for the building this week, you know, what it means for that organization, is getting the job done and rebounding from having their nose bloodied at home twice, you know, which is something they're not all that used to. End of last year aside, where they're so banged up, you know, under normal circumstances, they're not used to experiencing that. So for them to get off the mat and take care of business on Sunday night and finish off a game, you know, where they were trailing late, it's big, you know, it's big. And it's no bigger than, okay, go to New York or New Jersey and take care of the Giants on Sunday. You know, if you go up there and you lay an egg, then we're talking in negative terms again. I mean, that's just the nature of the business. But it really, you know, this was an important win for them. It was important for the fans, as you mentioned. You know, lots of bleary-eyed, tired Ravens fans on Monday morning at work drinking coffee and not going off of too much sleep, but you'll take that when it's a victory, right? When you get that kind of an experience. So in that way, important Sunday night win for the Ravens. And hey, say what you want about what needs to get better. They're in first place right now. And when you're talking about the middle of October, you'll gladly take that, knowing that there's a long way to go and plenty can happen and still lots of time to get better in ways that they need to get better.
It's getting hot in here in the season. It's 3-2 for the Ravens, headed off to the MetLife Stadium on Sunday to take on the New York Giants, fresh back from a big victory over the Packers. We'll be talking with Giants folks all week, certainly getting a little baseball mixed in here. We had some great conversations. My pal Thomas Dolby, rock star, joining us with some David Bowie stories. Had a great reach. Luke, you reached to me, a fellow named John Miller. Not that John Miller, the other John Miller with an H, and not the pitcher from the 66 Orioles either, who is a Wall Street Journal journalist, former Wall Street Journal journalist, who's writing a book about Earl Weaver. So great conversations around here all week long. Make sure you're checking it out. Luke will have full coverage out in Owings Mills. You can follow him at Baltimore Luke. I am going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back on the road for my birthday. One of my favorite places in the whole world, Lexington Market. We're going to be down at Fadley's. I'll be giving away some Raven scratch-off tickets. Top prize, $20,000. Also, we'll have our friends from Goodwill and Window Nation aboard. That is Friday, October 14th, a special day in my life and my mother's life. We'll be there on Friday morning from 9 until about noon. And then I'm going to get some cake and eat it too and try to enjoy my weekend. You know, the most important part of my birthday, Luke, is honoring Jim Palmer, which is the next day, which is Saturday. It's Jim Palmer's birthday. That's October 15th. So happy birthday, Cakes, and everybody else who's a good balanced Libra that we have here. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Plenty of football ahead and plenty of BaltimorePositive.com info ahead. Stay with us.